You there. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now it had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given unto me to the governors beyond the river, that I may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with me. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, and neither told I any man that what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on unto the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. And what I want to preach on this morning is that little phrase there in verse number 18. Verse number 18, where he said, And they said, Let us rise up and build. And what I want to preach on this morning is this thought, Let us rise up and build. It's a new year. The pandemic's pretty much come and gone. And can I tell you, the Christian landscape lies in ruin across this nation. It lies in ruin. Churches with barely anybody in it. Christian people completely defeated, completely separated from the fellowship and the house of God. And can I tell you, we have a great opportunity in 2023, in this late hour, to rise up and build. And I say, let us rise up and build. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. And God, I pray that you'd bless it. And Lord, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. What matters is what we're going to do now. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd light a fire under our hearts, Father. Light a fire under our seats. And God, help us to see that there's a work to be done in this late hour. That souls can be saved. Lives can be changed. The fellowship can be restored. And God, I pray you bless Fellowship Baptist Church in the coming year. And allow us, Lord, to reach beyond our ability. To reach beyond what we think we can do. And God, for you to work and do a mighty work among us. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I preach on this thought of let us rise up and build, let us rise up and build. Of course, the first Sunday of the new year, And for us, and as Nehemiah encouraged the people, so I want to encourage you this morning, amen, to do what? To rise up and build. To rise above the ruin of the pandemic. To rise above the critics and the naysayers. To rise above the obstacles. I hear people say all the time, and they're like the Sam Ballas of this world. They say, hey, you can't build a bus ministry anymore. Yes, you can. You can build a bus ministry. Well, you can't go out and knock on doors. Yes, you can. Hey, you can't go out and make visitation and visit people. Yes, you can. You can't pass out gospel tracts. Watch me. Amen. You can. You'd be surprised what God does through these things. You remember, I got saved from reading the gospel tract. Amen. How to get to heaven from your house. And Jesus Christ gloriously saved me and transformed me into a child of God through a simple little gospel tract. I gave a lady a gospel tract the other day, and I was preaching on that Wednesday night, and I said, Lord, I want to do better in this coming year getting these gospel tracts out. And can I tell you, she was thrilled to get it. She was thrilled to get it. And I said, hey, this will tell you about Jesus. And can I tell you, hey, there's a work to be done. Now, I know there's critics, and there's people who complain, and we understand it. Look in verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, despised us, and said, what is the thing will you do? Will you rebel against the king? Hey, they said, what are you going to do? Hey, they don't even know that he's there on the king's business. I loved it, man, when people complain about them gospel tracts. It's against the law to pass out gospel tracts. No, it's not. Have you ever heard about the First and Second Amendment? People laugh at you. I say, let them laugh. Let them laugh. Hey, God's still able to do His mighty and powerful work in us and through us. Amen. And He will. If you look in chapter number 4 and verse 1 to 4, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we had built the wall, and he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of the Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even this, that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Well, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. They did build the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. They did restore the worship in the city. Hey, they did do a work from God. And you know what? So can we in this late hour. So can we. There's no better time now than to rise up and build some things in our lives for God. Now, to do that, first thing you have to do is you got to recognize that there's a problem. Did Nehemiah recognize there was a problem? He recognized there was a problem. In chapter 1, in verse number 1, it talks about Nehemiah there. In verse number 2, then says that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Can I tell you? Hey, he had to see that there was a problem. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant mercy of them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive of thine eyes and open thine eyes open. Thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which they have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Man, what a great place to start. To take inventory and see that sin is always the problem. How come the house of God isn't filled all across America? Because sin is the problem. Boy, sin gets in our lives and it creeps in there before you even know it's there. There's a coldness that creeps in and there's a separation that creeps in. And before you know it, you haven't prayed, you haven't read your Bible, you haven't done anything for God, and you don't want to. Because sin has crept into your lives. Can I tell you, I have to be careful of that on a regular basis. Hey, I was sick the last 2 weeks. Guess how much I felt like reading my Bible. And you missed 3-4 days of reading your Bible because you don't feel like reading your Bible. When your brain's been boiled with fever and you don't feel good and you got pneumonia, I'll tell you right now, I'm not that spiritual. The only thing I want to do is lay on the couch. And laying on the couch, hey, doesn't get a whole lot of done for you, spiritually speaking. You don't feel like reading your Bible. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like witnessing. You don't feel like anything. And I'll tell you right now, boy, that sin creeps up on you in a hurry. And you got to shake it off and say, God, that's sin. That's wrong. I need to be praying. I need to be reading my Bible. I need to be doing what I'm telling everyone else to do. Hallelujah. We all have a sin problem. I wish I was really St. Christopher with no sin in my earthly body. Now, spiritually speaking, I am St. Christopher, but humanly speaking, I'm the devil and so are you. Don't be shocked. Because we got to be honest with each other and honest with ourselves. What's Nehemiah doing here? He's confessing his own sin. He's part of the captivity. Hey, we all got sin in our lives. We were praying last night at midnight, and I said, Lord, I said, God, help me to be better in this new year than I was in the last year. God, help me to have more of a burden for souls. God, help me to do the right thing in my life. Hey, recognizing the problem. And then repenting of the perversion. Back in chapter 1, verse 7, notice what he says. We have dealt. He's making it personal, very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor thy judgments, which thou hast commanded thy servant Moses. He's confessing his sins. He's repenting of his perversion, the things that are wrong in his life. He says, remember, I beseech thee, the word thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out the othermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Hey, he said, my people shall humble themselves and pray and confess their sin. God said, I will turn from their wickedness, that I will repent and give you a blessing. I know I didn't quote that right. My brain ain't working. Let's look at it. We're right there. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And he said this. He says, if my people, which are called my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Hey, does our land need some healing? I mean, this perversion and wickedness that has swept our land. Same-sex marriage. And now, God forbid all this transgenderism and what they're planning on doing, mutilating and destroying children's lives. In Cincinnati, Ohio, I know for a fact that they built a whole new wing at Children's Hospital to mutilate children and change their sex. God help us when that's the order of the day. God's going to judge that kind of thing. When you offend a child, you've offended Almighty God. And when you start messing with a child in that way and making them into something they're not, a child can never make a decision like that. Those are perverted adults making those decisions. And God's going to judge the nation for that. God help us. We need to recognize the problem, repent of the perversion. How do we get to this place in America where people don't know what a man and woman is? Because the church is in such bad condition. And Christianity is in such bad condition. It was the church that held the line of morality. It was the Christian that held the line of morality. It was the Christian in the workplace that lifted up their voice like a trumpet and declared right from wrong in the community. We got to recognize the problem, repent of the perversion, remove the pitfalls. What was the problem they had when they wanted to build? The problem was there was too much trash. That's what it says in chapter 4 and in verse number 10. Look what it says there. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed, and there's much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall." You say, what's the problem? There is so much junk in Christian lives that we can't begin to do anything for Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible makes it very clear in the New Testament. The answer to this problem of rubbish and trash, and God help us, there's a real problem with that in the day in which we live, the Christian people and Christian lives. Hebrews chapter 12, Paul said this. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." You ever been to a hoarder's house where things are stacked to the ceiling and there's a little path through the house? Hey, they can't accomplish anything in their life because of the junk that they got. You say, what do you got to do? You got to get rid of some of that stuff. Hey, get rid of that stuff so you can sit together at the dinner table. Amen. Everybody ought to eat dinner together as a family. Get all the junk off the dinner table, amen. Get all the junk out of the room so you can have people to your house and have company. Now, I don't know of anybody in this church that's a hoarder, but if you are, God bless you, you need help. But Christian, when it comes to our Christianity, it's the same way. Christian people got so much junk piled up in their life, they couldn't serve God if they wanted to. You can't be busy every day of the week with the world and think you're going to ever go on visitation. Think that you're going to come to King's Kids on Thursday night. Hey, think that you're going to go visit your neighbors or relatives or friends and invite them to come to church and tell them about Jesus because we got so much junk in our lives. I'll tell you right now, if I was going to be busy every day a week, it'd be for Jesus, not for anything else. Too much rubbish. Too much things getting in the way. That's why when Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae, when he instructed them and encouraged them, when it came to their life, what they needed to do, he said in chapter 3, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth." He said, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now skip on down there. Notice what he says in verse number 8. He says, "But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds." You gotta get junk out of your life. I was listening to a psychologist, and she was talking about TikTok. Now, I don't have TikTok. I've never been on TikTok. You know? Never been on it. I don't want to be on it. I hope to God no one in this room is on it. But she said, this thing is so addictive that the cell phone is so addictive that it consumes people's lives. When this thing is your life, you got a problem. Because you won't have time for anything else in your life but this. There was a time in my life when I was young and video games controlled me. I couldn't walk by an arcade. I was sucked right in there. And I probably spent thousands of dollars back in the day when you put a quarter in a machine. Nobody does that today, right? But back in the day. And we would drive to them arcades and we would spend hours there. And man, I got good at Space Invaders and I was good at Asteroids and I was good at all them archaic video games that, and then I watch kids today. with Fortnite and all this stuff. And I think, man, you could spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. That's junk in your life. I can't tell you how many homes have gone right to dissolve, gone right to nothing because of video games. Where the husband comes home and all he does is play video games from the moment he walks in the door to the day till he walks back out in the morning to go to work. That's trash. That's garbage. That's rubbish. You're not going to build anything in your life till you get rid of the rubbish. And then all them other things that I talked about. Hate and envy and all those things. That's trash in your life. That lust and that concupiscence and all the wickedness. Hey, it's trash that keeps you from growing in Jesus Christ. And then to remove the pitfalls and restore the promise. For Israel, it was repairing the walls. For us, it's repairing the worship. What's the one thing that suffered during the pandemic? The worship services. Now, I'm not fussing all them people at home watching. I'm glad they're watching. And we're going to stream from now till Jesus comes. But I'll tell you right now, it doesn't replace the fellowship of the saints in the house of God. I can't hug your neck out there in TV land as much as I want to. And you can't hug my neck. Right? Hey, you can't come up and say, Brother Chris, I'm really struggling this day. Will you pray for me? You say, why? Because we become detached from one another. The whole idea of rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem was rebuilding the worship. Rebuilding the nation. And that's the whole thing for us. In this January 1st of 2023, it's rebuilding the fellowship. And notice it said, they said, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. It's not just Brother Chris. It's let us rise up and build. Three simple little things this morning. The first thing is this, our faith. Our faith. Let us rise up and build. Look in verse 20 of Nehemiah chapter 2. It says, then answered I them and saith unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we, His servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. You know what he said? Hey, we're gonna restore our faith in God. Jude 1:20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You say, what do we need to do? Build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Amen. Believing that God is able. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able. I just believe that God is able. I still believe that God can save souls and change lives. I still believe that praying for our lost loved ones makes a difference in their life, and that we can witness to them, we can care about them, we can see them saved. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that's able to do abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Paul from the Philippian jail said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God's bigger than COVID-19. He's bigger than this crisis in America that we're having today. He's bigger than the economic turndown that's coming. God is bigger than all these things. But see, our faith has to be exercised. You say, what is that? It has to be put into practice. What good is faith if you don't ever practice it? You know where people are making their mistake today? They're no longer practicing their faith. That's why there are very few practicing Christians. If you've read anything about the state of Christianity in this nation, it's well below the 20% mark. And I was reading a thing 2 days ago, talking about the condition of our nation. And how many preachers are quitting every week across this nation? The number is staggering. We don't need to be stopping. We need to be starting. And exercising our faith. Now, we all know that January 1st, everybody begins their exercise program, right? I'm going to eat better. I'm going to walk better. I'm going to exercise. And we know how long that lasts, right? Usually 1 week. About a week that lasts. But can I tell you something? As a Christian, we need to be exercising our faith in a daily way. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, again, we know how important faith is because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And if we have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, then there's not anything we can't do. And he went on to, the Bible goes on to say this, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then he said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded of them that diligently seek him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the abundant mercy, hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that faith not away, reserved in heaven, you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Hey, it's the power of faith. Exercising our faith. It has to be exercised. It has to be experienced. You know, we can talk about all the faith of the world of people in the past. But what's happening now is what God's interested in. You know, everybody has their experiences, but you know what? I want to have my own experiences. It's great to talk about the heroes of the faith and George Mueller and these different people. Lee Robertson and any famous person we can name in the past, and hallelujah for them. Thank God for them. But let me tell you something. We need to be able to have our own stories of faith, our own experience of faith. Romans 5 says this. In verse number 1, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Man, I want to see God working in my life personally. Faith grows through experience, and you have to experience it for yourself. Your personal experience with Jesus Christ, seeing Him work and move in your life. It has to be exercised, it has to be experienced, it has to be expounded. I know what Romans 15:4 says. Things are written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience come to the Scriptures might have hope. And that is, we know what God did in the past. But again, what is God doing now? What is He doing in your life? What is He doing in the church? What's He doing in the community? Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. But see, building our faith is the key to the impossible and the incredible. You want to see God do great things? Then rise and build your faith in this coming year. Put yourself in a position to believe God. Book of Ecclesiastes makes it very clear that, hey, if you regard the clouds and you observe the clouds and regard the wind, you'll never do anything. I love people say, well, one of these days I'm going to live for Jesus. You know what the sad thing is? They'll be on their deathbed saying, one of these days I'm going to live for Jesus. Can I tell you, if you don't begin to live for Jesus, you're never going to live for Jesus. The greatest decision I ever made in my life, besides salvation, was to get up and come to church on Sunday. I got saved on December 15th, 1979, and on December 16th, 1979, I went to church. And it's been 43 years. And because I made that decision on December 16th, it has carried me through my entire life. Because I got up and said, I'm going to church. And can I tell you, when I got there, it was better than I could ever imagine it. And 43 years later, I feel the same way when I walk across the parking lot. Now, I know I don't have far to go. Glory to God. After 43 years, it ought to be a little easier to get to church. But there's something about when I walk in this building. Can I tell you, it builds my faith every Sunday. If we're going to rise up and build, He said, let us rise up and build, then it's going to begin with our faith. And then with a fellowship. Remember this, there's strength in numbers. And Nehemiah said that in verse 17. In verse 17, he said, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. And then verse number 18, the people said, let us rise up and build. Can I tell you, there is strength in numbers. And when you get to chapter number 3, the whole nation is moving as one to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And you know, everyone got involved in building the city of Jerusalem. Even their children. Hey, you know what gives the church life? It's the children. Everyone ought to come and bring their children. You say, children get on my nerves. Glory to God. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. We need children in the church. Because children become adults. And it's what perpetuates the Word of God into the future. We have a whole generation of kids that have never been to church now. Never been to Sunday school. Don't know the first thing about Daniel and the lion's den or David and the giant. And don't know the first thing about God creating heaven and earth. And it's why our nation is becoming godless. They all labored from morning to evening, and the families were gathered together to protect themselves and to build the work of God. In chapter 4, in verse number 7, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the wall of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Skip on down there a few parts. Look at verse 19. And it says, and I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. And what place ye there hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us, for our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. And likewise at the same time said unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that is in the night, that it may be a guard on us, and labor in the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the man of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving every one that put them off for washing. See, what did they do? Hey, they moved as one. And everyone got involved. Over the years, we've had some big groups of teenagers at this church. You know why? Because a few teenagers got excited and brought all their friends. That's why what's happening in children's church is so important, because they'll be teenagers. And they can and will bring their friends one day. We could have 30, 40, 50 again in our teen classes. Oh, it takes a couple of teenagers to get excited. I remember at Blue Ash Baptist Church years ago, we had 40, 45, 50 teenagers in the teen group. You say, why? Hey, because they got excited and they start coming. Brother Steve Thomas had Friday night Bible study and all the teens got together and then we went out afterwards. Can I tell you? Hey, there was a large group of teenagers in the church. We can rebuild the fellowship. But see, it takes people getting involved in the fellowship. We know these verses in Hebrews 10, verse number 22. The Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We always say a crowd begets a crowd. Isn't that the truth? We need each other in the fellowship. Carpenters and wood workers know that the best trees in the forest are the ones that stand tall together. And that they're the most profitable. What do we need to do as a church? Stand tall together. Stand tall together. Solomon said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they all fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto them that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And he said, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Hey, we need each other. Encourage one another. Help one another. Build a bond that's strong with one another. And then lastly is this. Lastly is this. We speak of faith and we speak of the fellowship, but lastly is the future. The reason Nehemiah worked hard to build the walls of the city, because it was for the foundation of the future of the nation. You know, we never miss something until it's gone. Isn't that the truth? We never miss something until it's gone. Remember the old drive-ins? You want to go to a drive-in now, you got to go a long way to go to a drive-in. Not that that was probably ever a good thing. It's probably good that they're gone. If all the movie houses closed up, that would be a good thing. But people lament that they're not there anymore. I heard someone on the radio lamenting. He said, whatever happened to all the preachers who used to preach on the street in Chattanooga? He said, man, what we need on this, and this is sinners talking, on the radio. What we need is some preachers to go down and stand on the street corner and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. He said, they were annoying, but what they had to say is what our society needed. That's a fact. You know, people complain when churches close, but they fail to see that churches close because the Christian community failed to support them. One day we'll lament when there's no churches in the Bible Belt. You see, what we're doing now is for the future. Because one day there's going to be a bunch of kids that are going to want to bring their kids to church, and there may not be one to bring them to. You say, what are we doing? We're laying the foundation for the future. You'd be surprised how quickly churches can disappear. How long did it take Highland Park to disappear? And it was a powerhouse, known all over America. And it's gone. I'll just read the number of churches that are closed every week. I said, well, that makes sense. If you got all these preachers quitting, then obviously you would have churches closing also, right? And we wonder why people don't know what sex they are anymore. Because the church has lost its influence in the community. No one to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. That's wickedness and it's wrong. The psalmist lamented and said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It is in the best interest of the church to build Sunday school classes. Before the pandemic, we had 11 Sunday school classes. Now, you know we only have 7 now. What do we need to do? We need to rebuild the Sunday school. We need to rebuild Bible study and prayer. Wednesday night's important. Because it's Bible study and prayer. We read them prayer letters of the missionaries. And we pray over the request of folks that are sick. And we teach the Bible. Rebuilding the outreach. Hey, we need to go out and knock on doors. We need to visit people when they visit the church. We need to go out and round up these kids and bring them to church. We need to be discipling young Christians and teaching them how to serve the Lord. It's rebuilding for the future. To succeed, we must pray, we must plan, and we must participate. What's the problem in most churches? The participation level. You know, we could have as big a ministry here as we could possibly want to have. But the part that's lacking is the participation. We used to bring 60, 70 kids, 80 kids in here every week. You say, how come you don't bring that many anymore? Because we don't have enough workers to handle them. They want to come. They want to get on the bus. They want to be a part. But you have to have workers. You have to have adults. You have to have people to ride the buses, to get them here, get them back home, to sit with them in their class. And it takes people. Can you imagine if we had visitation night and we had 10, 20 people going out visiting every visitation night, what God would do? What God would do when people gather together and want to make a difference? Hey, the sky is the limit. But the limitation is us. Did Jerusalem have to lay in waste? No, it did not. They just needed someone to come along and believe that God could do anything. And it didn't matter what Sam Ballot said. It didn't matter what the naysayer said. It didn't matter who criticized it and laughed at it and made fun of it. They rebuilt the walls. And God restored the worship. They prayed, they planned, And they participated. And the glory of God came down once again. Wouldn't you like to see the glory of God in the coming year at Fellowship Baptist Church? I would. A man said, attempt great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Ask great things for God. Expect great things from God. You know what we're doing the coming year? We're attempting some great things for God. Brother Eddie and Miss Kathy coming on as assistant pastor. We've had a church merger with believers. And you say, what are we expecting? God to do some great things. So as Nehemiah said, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Let's stand to our feet. Be a part of what God is doing. And let's see God work mightily in the coming year. God can do some great things. I'm looking forward to God saving some souls, changing some lives, and God showing His mighty power. I hope that's what you're looking for also. Because there's no telling what God can do. It all begins with, here am I, send me. What did Nehemiah do? He was sad, and the king said, why are you sad? He says, my father's sepulchers lie in waste. He said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go back and rebuild it. And that's exactly what he did. God help us to want to rebuild some things. Hey, the pandemic tore a whole lot down. And can I tell you, we need to do some rebuilding. But it's going to take us all saying, let us rise up and build. I hope that's you this morning. That you'll say, let us, preacher. Let us rise up and build. And see what God will do.